Okay, well, we're going to get started this evening. It's a joy to see you out here tonight. And, you know, I have for a very important announcement is that we're going to start a fiefdom and applications to be lords and ladies, right, will be taken afterwards. No. Thank you so much for coming out tonight for the update on the Pastoral Search Committee adventure and our search for pastoral assistance. I tried to make that look as epic as possible because, as many of you know, the journey towards discovering the right pastoral candidate for a church can often feel like quite the adventure, with unexpected twists and turns that end up being exactly what was required to bring you to the end result. And so this search process is no exception. It is epic. And the reason why there hasn't been a lengthy update until this moment is because there has been a whole lot happening behind the scenes, first in the interviewing of candidates and then in the sharpening of our focus and priorities as leaders and committee members when it comes to who exactly we're looking for. And so tonight, as best as I'm able, I want to give you all an update on all of that in as short a summary as humanly possible. And that's really going to be something. So before we dive in, let's just ask the Lord to bless our time together and let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for how we can meet together this evening. And Father, we can even worship you as we discuss the business of your church here. Father, we thank you so much for how you give gifts to churches. And one of those gifts is the gift of pastoral leadership. And so, Father, we thank you for how you guide us in wisdom for your name's sake on righteous paths. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to be able to communicate how you have led us up to this point tonight. And I ask for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as I was thinking about what to share with you all tonight and how to share it, I decided to basically take you all along the same journey of thinking that the Lord has taken me on regarding how to process this need for hiring pastoral assistants here at Grace Chapel. And when I started to think about how exactly to do that, I realized that the best way is always with a four-point alliterated outline. And so that's what we're going to do this evening. In all seriousness, though, these four points that we're about to look at tonight represent a series of questions that the Lord has repeatedly caused me to ask throughout this entire journey. And when I was thinking about where to start, this journey really began before I ever came here to Grace Chapel, as the Lord started working in my heart, when I started asking myself the question, what are our priorities? What are our priorities? In other words, what should our focus be as a church, and how should that focus be reflected in pastoral ministry? What are our priorities? Well, like everything in life, our focus as a church is to always glorify God. Ephesians 3:21 says, "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." That is an amazing verse. That verse teaches us that just as God's glory shines out in his Son in heaven, God's glory shines out of his saints who are in Christ here on earth. His glory is and ought to be uniquely seen in the church. And one of the ways that we as believers glorify God in the church is by growing, by being transformed by one degree of glory into another by means of the word of grace, the throne of grace, and the fellowship of grace, by scripture, prayer, and godly fellowship. These are the three most essential activities that we as believers are to devote ourselves to. These are the very three activities that the church has devoted itself to ever since the day of Pentecost. The word of grace, the throne of grace, and the fellowship of grace. It is by these three means of grace that you and I grow in grace and grow with the growth that comes from God to his glory. And so if these three means of grace are the foundational activities of our church, then how should they be reflected in pastoral ministry? It's actually quite simple when you think about it. The importance of the word of grace is reflected in preaching. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Preach the word." The importance of the throne of grace is reflected in praying. Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the apostles told the early church in Jerusalem, we must devote ourselves to prayer in the ministry of the word. And then finally, the importance of the fellowship of grace is reflected in personal discipleship. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says, the things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So these are the three grace-based priorities of pastoral ministry: preaching, prayer, and personal discipleship. And one of the things that I learned in my years of pastoring in Pennsylvania was how subtle a temptation it is to choose to postpone these ministry priorities out of a concern to be better positioned for them later. I've seen this tendency both at a personal level, just being a Christian, and then I've seen it at a church-wide level as being a pastor. The temptation often sounds like this, and I know it's familiar to you. Yes, I could share the gospel right now, but I think I'll wait until a better opportunity presents itself later, and then I'll be better positioned to share the gospel then. In ministry, it can sound like this. Yes, those students in the local university need to be reached, but maybe I'll wait until some college students start coming on their own, naturally, and then we'll be better positioned to minister to them in the future. Or you could say, yes, I could take time to personally disciple some husbands and fathers now, but maybe I should wait until there can be this whole contingent of leadership in the church that's committed to doing it with me, and then we'll all be better positioned to train up these men. My years in Pennsylvania warned me to beware of that subtle tendency, the temptation found within me and every believer to postpone ministry today out of a concern to be better positioned for it tomorrow. That's wrong. James 4:17 says, whoever knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, to him it is what? Sin. So when it comes to my ministry as a pastor here, there are three things that I know to be right that I know we need to do, and that is this. If we are to fulfill our ministry, then we as pastors and elders need to be focused on preaching, prayer, and personal discipleship. Those are my priorities as a pastor and elder that desires to see God's people grow in grace. And I should not put off any of those priorities today out of a concern that maybe I can somehow make myself better positioned to do it tomorrow. I learned, and I am still learning, that when it comes to God's expectations for life and for ministry, we must do what we should do right now. And that's a mindset that the Lord has impressed upon me before I even ever came here. I'll never forget asking the search committee during my interview process, how many Sundays do you want me to preach out of the week? And everybody looked at me with faces of absolute shock. And so I clarified, I'm not asking that because I want to get out of work. I'm asking that because 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says that I ought to be entrusting the word of God and raising up other faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And I can't do that if I'm the only one behind the pulpit all the time. I am called to train and entrust this gospel ministry to others. And so the priority of personal discipleship and seeking to train up faithful men is one of the priorities that I've been thinking about for a long, long time before I even came here, and that I've shared with our church whenever I get the chance. So that's why you've seen certain things happen. That's why when Colby Reese was interested in some on-the-job ministry training last summer, we jumped on creating a summer internship for him, and again this summer. That's why I've been meeting with other young husbands and fathers in the church about how to shepherd their families well. That's why I've started to set up a 2-year ministry training program to send interested men through a process that introduces them to ministry on the side. It's because when it comes to being a part of training up other faithful men, we can't postpone ministry priorities and opportunities that God has given us today out of a concern that somehow maybe we'll be better prepared to do it tomorrow. If God has called us to train up other faithful men, and if God has given us the opportunity to do that, then God has given us the responsibility. It's a priority that we can't postpone. So that was a major consensus that grew firm over the last several months. When it comes to our priorities as a church, to train up other faithful men is essential. And just an observation on that. Training up faithful men happens where? It happens in the church. In the church. So that's our priorities, to train up faithful men. So now we need to ask, when it comes to pastoral candidates, what's our person? In other words, what type of person should we be looking for when it comes to pastoral assistance? This is the question that I kept asking myself throughout much of this process, even more than their experience, even more than their education. What type of person should we be looking for when it comes to pastoral assistance? Well, at the risk of sounding redundant, we need to find someone for pastoral assistance who is pastoral and who is able to assist, namely me, in pastoral duties. First, they need to be pastoral, which reminds us that though not perfect, the person that we're looking for needs to be qualified in their character. This is of the highest importance because the only type of assistance that will be helpful to me or to us as a church in the long run will not be seen on a resume. And it won't be seen on a degree. It'll be seen on the hearts and actions of that individual. So they need to be pastoral. This is of the highest importance. The type of assistance that will be helpful to me in our church in developing spiritual growth is going to be someone who consistently and repentantly exhibits the qualifications of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. You could put it this way: character is king when it comes to candidates. And those of us on the search committee were powerfully reminded of this over the last several months. As a committee, we went through quite a few candidates. We narrowed it down to a handful of individuals based on doctrine, interviewed them, and then focused in on one candidate whose education, experience, and initial interviews and answers looked like a good fit. But do you know what brought it to an end? A character reference. It was a great reminder for all of us on that committee that for someone to be helpful to a pastor, they have to be pastoral in the sense of being qualified in their character. And again, just an observation. Determining someone's character is not impossible, but it's a whole lot harder to know when it's someone coming from outside the church. Sometimes you don't even know until you're months down the line, or even worse, years after the hire. It's easier to determine someone's character when that someone is from inside the church, someone that you've had the opportunity to watch, to observe, and to test through conversations, connections, and circumstances to see whether they are pastoral and repentantly maintaining that Christ-like character. They need to be pastoral in character. But even when someone pastoral is found, we still need to find someone who can assist, specifically me in my pastoral duties. They need to be able to assist. Now, the verse that really stood out to me on this one is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Where Paul wrote, "Get John Mark and bring him with you, for he has, here it is, proven himself very useful to me for ministry." Now notice, Paul says in that verse, John Mark wasn't just useful, he says he was proven useful. And he was proven useful not just for ministry, but to Paul for ministry. This is, again, kind of Captain Obvious, but not all pastors are the same. Just like not all churches or church ministries are the same. There are men of God that I highly respect and whose teachings I have greatly learned from that I would at the same time never consider to hire as an associate pastor, because either their church governance or their philosophy of ministry is very different than mine. And so we need to be able to hire someone who can assist specifically the elders and me and advance the unique vision of ministry that we have here at our church. And as I've been studying this out, I just keep on coming back to this one fact, that someone who's going to be helpful in compatibility and assistance has to be proven. They have to be proven. For someone to be able to assist the senior pastor, they must be able to say, like Jonathan Shieldbearer, "Do all that is in your heart. Behold, I'm with you, heart and soul. I'm totally with you on this." Now, how can someone say that with integrity and honesty? Well, it's a lot easier if they already know you and know your ministry and know your approach and are already sure that the church's philosophy and vision is one that they want to be a part of, and that they can already say that they know and respect and like the pastor and his vision for ministry. Because as one assistant pastor taught on this subject while I was out in California, if they can't say those things without reservation, they won't be an assistant pastor, they'll be a competing pastor. And so again, just an observation. While it's not impossible to find these things in an individual from the outside of the church, it's a lot easier to determine compatibility when the pastoral assistance is coming from within the church, from people who already know, already understand, and already agree with the church's doctrine and philosophy of ministry. So these are realities that became crystallized for us over the last several months that we want to bring you all in on. When it comes to our priorities, we as elders want to focus on training up other faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And then when it comes to our person, we as elders want him to be someone who is both pastoral and is an assistant, someone who possesses both proven character and compatibility with our church's unique vision and philosophy of ministry for the sake of the gospel. And if we recognize that these are our priorities and this is the type of person that we're looking for, then that's all good, pie-in-the-sky ideas, but how do we bring this all down to earth? What is the process by which we are to either find or develop such a person in the long term? So what's our process? That's the third question. See, we know that we have current pastoral needs in the here and now, hence this search for pastoral assistance. But what is our long-term process and plan that we have to begin in order to achieve these priorities and develop these people now? Because again, we can't postpone ministry priorities or opportunities that we have today out of a concern that we can somehow make ourselves better positioned for them tomorrow. If God has given us the opportunity to train up faithful men, then we've been given the responsibility to do so. And I don't think you have to look around our congregation very long to recognize, oh, we have opportunity. We have opportunity. Therefore, we've been given the responsibility, and I want you to know that there is actually an urgency to do so on this. According to a study from the Barna Research Group released just last year, nearly one-fourth of all pastors in America are planning to retire in the next 6.5 years. Think about that. See, back in the 1990s, only 67% of pastors were 40 and older. Today, that number has risen to 84% of all pastors. Only 16% of pastors and leaders in the church, 1 in 7, are 40 and under. And more than half are 50 and older. There are more pastors right now over 65 than there are under the age of 40. Back in 1968, 55% of all evangelical pastors were in the ages of 20, 30, and 40. Today, only 22% are. In other words, there is an urgent need. Younger men are not being raised up and trained for pastoral ministry. So, that's great to talk about. What's the concrete plan and process that we as elders have to address this urgent need, achieve this necessary priority that God gives us in His Word, and begin by God's grace to develop these needed men of character and compatibility now? Well, it's a plan that we as leaders have already begun, and we want to expand it now. It's a 4-step ministry training process outlined initially by 9 marks, if you're familiar with that ministry, that can take someone, if the Lord wills, on a journey from simply learning the basics of ministry on the side to all the way to entering gospel ministry for the sake of the church full time. And that's something that we want to get behind. We want to come alongside the men of our church who, by the Spirit, are beginning to aspire to the work of an overseer. And we as a church want to deliberately shepherd them through their desires and their doctrines and their spiritual disciplines carefully, step by step. These 4 steps of training will help us do that with intentionality. And I want to explain these 4 steps for you briefly tonight so that when you see certain things happening in the future in our church in coming weeks and months, I want you to understand not only what's happening, but also why it's happening. And I want you to know that these four steps that I have up here, they don't reflect a hierarchy, since everybody in ministry is a servant. Rather, they reflect an expanding breadth of responsibility that's given as you go through these different steps. So this training process all begins with what we have here is the pastoral internship step. This is a position that is designed for a man who is interested in exploring the possibility of pastoral ministry and wants to have a close, in-depth look at it, either through a short-term, intensive full-time position over the summer, which we've already seen happen in our church last summer and again this year, or as a long-term on-the-side leadership training program over 2 years, which we're starting to begin right now with a couple of the men in the church. The second step would be the pastoral assistant level. This position is designed for a man who's completed his pastoral internship and has confirmed that he desires to pursue vocational ministry. This would be a 1 to 2 year temporary hire where the individual would serve at the will of the senior pastor as his assistant, minion, no, I'm just kidding, either at a part-time or a full-time capacity depending on their ability. This person would not be an elder or a pastor in the staffing sense, but would serve as an assistant to the pastor to aid him in pushing his particular ministry priorities forward during those 1 to 2 years, and would enable the church and its leadership to examine his doctrine and demeanor in a more intensive, long-term fashion to determine if he is, in fact, elder qualified. If it's determined that he is, and he is desirous, and there is the opportunity, the third step of this training process could potentially be the assistant pastor level. This position is designed for a man who's gone through the first two training steps and as a result has been recognized as gifted and called by the congregation to be an elder and to enter full-time pastoral ministry. An assistant pastor, while assisting in whole church pastoring, would at the same time be entrusted with overseeing a particular ministry responsibility in the church. I make that distinction because that sets him apart from this fourth step of training, which would be the associate pastor level. This position is designed for someone who has served faithfully as an assistant pastor and has been recognized as someone who would be uniquely helpful in engaging in whole church pastoring. This individual would be someone who would serve right alongside the senior pastor. He would likely have similar giftings as the senior pastor since he would need to be helping him in whole church pastoring. In fact, he would be the pastor's backup and replacement should something ever happen to him. As one person put it, sometimes it's good, as one person put it as they were talking about it in California, sometimes it is good to have more than one person who can steer the ship. And so this would be someone who has similar gifts and strengths as the pastor, but is willingly puts himself under the pastor's authority to serve in similar and complementary roles. So these are four steps, a process, if you will, one that doesn't affect or speak to a hierarchy, but rather an expanding breadth of duty. And so this is the process that we want to continue to develop, even though we've begun it, continue to develop and create here so that we can actually put our priorities into practice in tangible ways and begin to intentionally train up men from within who can provide pastoral assistance at a day and hour where raising up men like this is desperately needed. We want to be able to train up men from within who can provide pastoral assistance not only for our church, but Lord willing for other churches in years to come. This is the process that we want to establish in order to develop the people we want to raise up in order to fulfill the priorities that God has given us. And so we've looked at the priorities, we looked at the person, and we've looked at the process that we want to take in raising up pastoral assistants, not only as we see called to do from Scripture, but also as our present hour calls us to do as well. So you might be thinking right now, okay, Pastor, wow, that was a lot. But what does all of this have to do with the pastoral search process and our needs right now? Well, that leads us to the final question. What's most practical? And this kind of gets to really what we wanted to update you all about, is the decision that we've made, what we've prayed and sought the Lord's wisdom about for a while. What do we do with our current need for pastoral assistance, as well as our current opportunities to develop it? How do we approach and handle those two realities? In summary, what we've concluded as elders is this. We need to put our emphasis on keeping the right priorities of training faithful men, of determining the right person of character and compatibility, and of establishing the right process of intentional discipleship. And in that process, simply see what God will do. Because we have ministry opportunities right now that we should not postpone out of the temptation that we'll be better positioned to do them later. And as part of that has to do with our current summer intern, Colby Reese. By the end of this summer, he will have completed not one but two pastoral internships for our church. Somehow that hasn't scared him away yet. I don't know why. I've tried my best. No. And he continues to desire full-time vocational ministry. And we as elders talked about it, and we realized that this is a ministry opportunity that shouldn't be postponed. It is an opportunity to pursue our ministry priorities, to invest in a person of character and compatibility, and to develop our process of ministry training more fully. And so that was the easy decision to make. That was a very easy decision to make. We as elders all strongly agreed that we want to help shepherd Colby along this journey as the Lord leads him, even as Colby finishes up his graduate degree over the next 2 years. And the way that we want to do it is by hiring him as my part-time pastoral assistant beginning this fall at approximately 20 hours a week, moving him into that second step of greater ministry responsibilities. Now, what does that mean in terms of our search process? What is this renewed focus effect? Well, what it means most immediately is that we have given the search committee a little bit of a break for a while, which they all were very thankful for, in order for the elders and I to observe the impact and effectiveness of this new pastoral training step that we're creating. All of us as elders know that we want to pursue this process, but none of us can know how much pastoral assistance it will actually provide until it actually begins. It's only after we move forward on this hire that we'll know if we need more pastoral assistance, and if we need more, how much more. And so that's why, after much prayer and deliberation, it seemed most practical to give the search committee a break over the summer and fall so that we as elders can assess how this new position works and how it affects our current ministries. That knowledge will greatly help us in the future decisions, any future decisions that we might have to make. And so, I guess I should probably finish this way. In summary, I'm just excited that we get to take this adventure together. And I'm excited that our decision as elders, though it took, you know, much conversation and prayer, our decision as elders, as best as we're able, is to put a priority on our principles, to put a priority on our people, and to put our priority on this training process and trust God with the results. One of the ways that we're going to take that first step is by hiring Colby Reese as a part-time pastoral assistant this fall, as what we pray will simply be the first of many, many, many men raised up here at Grace Chapel to meet this most urgent and necessary prayer and call for our hour, to train up faithful men who will both serve and be sent out as laborers in God's harvest fields. And so there you have it. That's the update that we wanted to give you all as a church. This is Grace Chapel, and not just our search, but our mission for pastoral assistance. I know I have shared a whole lot with you tonight, and I am sure that you have questions. And so I want you to know I'm going to be hanging out here at the front afterwards, and I encourage you, please come see me. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have at all. And thank you so much for coming out tonight to hear this update. I want you to remember to grab those prayer sheets as you're leaving tonight, as you're leaving in the back, if you haven't already. Some very important updates there. And so now let's just close in prayer and let's ask God to continue to richly bless our body as we continue on in this great adventure and mission together as a church for His glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for how You are the great shepherd of Your sheep. Father, we thank You that You have given us Your word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And what you ask us to do is to walk by faith and follow the priorities that you have laid out for us in your word. Father, we pray that you would establish the work of our hands upon us as a church as we seek to be faithful in following these priorities. How it is a step of faith. And Father, we thank you that when we seek to follow you in this way, you bless us. And so, Father, we thank you for the blessing of being able to understand your word, to study it, and to follow you faithfully. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us and lead us as a church in these coming months and years as we consider the great needs of our hour. I pray that you would equip us to meet them for your honor and glory. Help us to be a light in this place and at this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.